This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails.
Everyone, and welcome to Blessed Trails. I am Belinda Gale, and I am so delighted to be your host as we visit with interesting and diverse guests. We also have the honor of featuring our guest gospel and patriotic music and sometimes poetry, most all of which has a definite Western flair. Today is one of my favorite shows, our second annual end-of-the-year wrap-up, where we will be looking back at 2015 and forward to 2016. But before we get started, let's kick off this show with one of my favorite songs by my big brother of the heart, R.W. Hampton, My Country's Not for Sale.
There's a trail of blood back through the sacred halls of history. Follow it back to where our fathers fought and died. Across the ways, see the crosses on the hillside. On the wind, hear their voices as they cry. We've got to get back to the faith of our fathers and find our way back to the Liberty Bell and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to rise up and say this country is not for sale. She's not for sale. From Valley Forge they're calling, not for sale. From Gettysburg they cry, from Bella Wood to the battle for Fallujah. She's not for sale, no, not at any price. There was a time when we all stood together. There was a time when by fire we were tried. But we've lost our way. It's a way that costs so dearly. It's not too late to saddle up and ride. We've got to get back to the faith of our fathers and find our way back to the living. rebel and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to tell Washington my country's not for sale. From the Alamo to the sands of Iwo Jima, from Normandy to the Chosun Reservoir, back to Bataan, to the mighty Mekong Delta, from the Helmand Province to the Solomon's bloody shores, they cry, we gotta get back to the faith of our fathers. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, will have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Abraham Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address, November 19th, 1863.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's just awesome. What a way to kick off this show. And I am really excited about this show today, not only because it's always fun to look back over the last year and revisit fond memories, but this is the show where I get to coax our producer from behind the control panel to join us on the show. Not only is he the creator of Equestrian Legacy Radio, always working to expand and improve the network, he is the host of two other shows. He has a huge, gracious, and generous heart. So in the midst of everything else he does, he works tirelessly to produce a growing annual fundraiser for the Fiona Murphy Foundation, and we'll talk more about that later. And he has another full-time job as well. I can say from the bottom of my heart that were it not for him, Blessed Trails would not be on the air. Please welcome from the other side of the control panel, my producer, my radio mentor, my never-ending source of help and encouragement, and most importantly, my dear friend, Gary Holt. Welcome to this side of the mic, Gary.
Good morning, Belinda. Good morning. You know, I think you enjoy this because you get to kind of turn the tables on me. You know, you get to ask questions and I have to try to come up with answers. So that's cool.
It's fun. But really, this is more like a visit. We just get to visit and just talk about the past year. And gosh, what an amazing year we've had with incredible guests. And God, I can't believe it's been over a year since the show went on the air. I mean, it just flies by.
It really does. And last night I was thinking about the fact that it was just yesterday that we did this particular show a year ago. And it just doesn't seem possible that it's been a year since we did our first wrap up and look into the next coming year. And time just gets away from us. It's unbelievable. But yeah, it's been a packed year. And when you take a look back at all of the guests that have been on Blessed Trails, and when I look back at all the guests that we've had on all of the Equestrian Legacy Radio shows in a year's time, it just boggles my mind because we've had some good ones.
And a ton of people. And when you do a weekly show, I mean, that's, you know, basically 52 guests a year for each show. So that's pretty incredible. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it is. And then we do two other shows, and those shows will have anywhere from they'll have anywhere from two to as many as six guests per show. And, it gets pretty wild sometimes, but it's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, we have met some of the most wonderful people over the course of the last several years that we've been doing Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I have been so touched and moved by the guests that are on Blessed Trails. And one of my privileges is to get to listen to these shows very closely, because, you know, we're getting these shows out on the air, but I don't think there's been a show that you've done, Belinda, that there hasn't been a guest that has touched my heart with something that they've had to say. And so that's, as you know, that was kind of the goal of ours when we started this.
Absolutely. We definitely want it to be entertaining and interesting for people to listen to, but the ultimate goal is for it to be an encouragement and an inspiration for people along the way. So that's, and I think it's done that because our guests have been amazing, just opening up their hearts and sharing sometimes very private information. We literally had one of our guests that I talked to later that said, "I can't believe I said that on." she said, "For hundreds of people to hear," and I went, "Yeah, try thousands."
Gosh, yeah, it's pretty amazing. A lot of inspiring, amazing guests, and it is amazing the way that people actually open up and share things that they had no intention of sharing, but I guess the Lord probably was leading them at the time to do that, and so that's pretty cool. But, somebody that's inspiring is this little petite gal that will get up in the dark to saddle horses and ride in the Rose Bowl parade. So let's just real quick tell us about that experience. How long you been doing it, and how did you get involved in that? And Bob.
Bob is the president of Long Beach Men of Police, or he's the outgoing. He actually ended a 6-year run as the president of Long Beach Police. He handed over the reins of the organization over to the new president as soon as the Rose Parade was finished this year. But I had ridden in the parade once previously, years ago, with my late singing partner, Curly Musgrave. And then when Bob and I got married in 2010, my next was 2011, 12, and 13 I rode. And then 14 and 15, New Year's Day, they rotated us out, and then they brought us back in for the 2016. And people have no idea. They see those beautiful horses going down the parade route, and how nice is that? They don't realize that it starts the previous day with bathing and grooming the horses, and people that don't have horses, that's giving them a bath from head to toe, scrubbing them down, putting all kinds of stuff on to make them shiny and beautiful, painting their nails, their hooves black so they stand out beautiful, putting all kinds of stuff in their tails and mane and braiding that and shaving their faces. And, I mean, just all kinds of stuff that you do. Plus, we have been camping basically at the LA Equestrian Center for a week. We come in before Christmas and give the horses time to acclimate and ride the trails and just get them ready for the parade. So then we're breaking camp, we're reloading everything up, getting it ready to travel, get to go to the staging area. The staging area opens at 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve. We pull in there and they have a little section of a freeway that they have actually blocked off for the night. And all of the horse trailers and supporting vehicles and a couple of motorhomes for people to sleep in. You have a little section of this median on a freeway that you park all of the trailers on, try to get the horses settled for the night and try to spend the night. But their people they have until midnight to come in and get parked. So there's all kinds of activity until about 1 a.m. actually by the people that come in late and get settled in. And then everybody who is a Rose Parade official is all dressed in white. They're called white suiters. They start waking people up at 4 a.m. just because the first groups have to be in the saddle by 6 a.m. to get in line, because you get in the saddle and you actually wait in the lineup area. By the time you get saddled and into that lineup area and then get folded into the parade, into your position, you've been in the saddle for 2 hours before you ever get into the parade, and it's a 5-mile parade. I tell you what, though, when you get folded into the parade and you immediately turn the corner onto Colorado Boulevard and you have this, you know, vast sea of people going on both sides of the road, and you have all of these things at the top of where all the people are. You have HGTV and CBS and NBC, and you have cameras, you know, flying around on these mechanical arms. And I mean, and it's pretty doggone exciting to do that. And it makes it really well worth it. But I tell you, by the time you get to the end of the parade, and we, especially in show saddles, they're beautiful, but they're not real comfy. By the time you get to the end of the parade, you're pretty sore and pretty tired, but it's amazing. And people, we usually carry, Long Beach Mounted Police have actually ridden in that parade since 1946.
Oh, wow.
So they have a long, long history in that parade. And until 2013, when the first year they rotated us out, they had ridden consecutively in the parade since 1946. So that was the first year they had missed in all those years. And so it's a pretty incredible thing. The sad thing is that the Rose Parade officials, for whatever reason, I think part of it is financial, because they don't make a lot of money on the horse groups being in the parade. That where they make their money to keep funding this parade is on the floats. And also the major networks usually cut away from the horses to go to commercial during that time. They're cutting back and cutting back and cutting back. And the rumor that we hear is that ultimately they're only going to have a few horse groups in the parade, where they used to have like 20 or 30 groups. Now they're down to about 15, and they're looking to only end up with about 5 or 6.
Well, that is a shame, because that's part of the history of the Rose Parade, you know, for 127 years to have had horses as part of that. And some traditions need to be carried on. And I sat intently at my TV set, switching from ABC to NBC, trying to catch you and Bob. And was so disappointed after 2 hours never getting to see you. But I understand that there were a couple of channels, Hallmark and something local in L.A., that did cover the entire parade. So I have seen pictures of you. I know you were there.
Yes, we were in it. And that's the misfortune of if we've been in different positions all through the parade, but this year they chose to put us at the very end. And they had their reasons for doing that, and that was fine. But when you're at the very end of the parade and it goes over for any reason, and there was two different floats that broke down during the parade, which, you know, extended all the time. And when that happens, then especially the major networks, when it gets to 10 o'clock, they're done. They cut away. They don't care who's left.
Right.
And so that happens when you're at the end of the parade, but we still got to see all the people on the parade route. And I mean, Gary, literally you see blow up mattresses and physical mattresses where people have spent the night on the sidewalk to get
unreal.
A good spot.
It is unreal.
It is unreal. And mass quantities of people. So it's a very exciting experience and quite an honor, because it's difficult to get into that parade.
Well, I would think so, and I expect probably, Belinda, over the years, 5 years or so that you've been riding in that, I expect you've made some new friends that you see every year.
Oh, we do. I've my little Apache Rose, I ended up getting from the wife of one of the men who is one of the support people for the Wells Fargo wagon.
Oh, wow.
And we've become really dear friends. I made some new friends this year. The beautiful Shire team that was there, in the parade, those gorgeous big black, you know, draft horses with the white feathers around the bottom of their feet, just gorgeous. They're from actually from Minnesota. The owner is from South Dakota, but they're actually based in Minnesota, is where the ranch is, where those horses are kept and worked. Made friends with them, exchanged information. We're going to stay in touch because I get up to that neck of the woods sometimes, and we're going to hook up with them again. So absolutely, through the years, we've made some really good friends and just interesting people, incredible horse people, and it's fun. And the Elliott, something else before we move on is that in conjunction with the Rose Parade is a Quest Fest, which is aired live on RFD TV, and that's held at the Big Equidome at the LA Equestrian Center, and all of the horse groups that are units that are in the Rose Parade are already there getting ready for the Rose Parade, and they basically put on a show. Like, you know, the Medieval Times people put on part of their show, the draft horse wagons put on a demonstration with the wagons, the police, the unit that was in, which was so incredible, that huge big group from the LA Police Department, they demonstrated how they worked with crowd control using the horses. And so that's a live show, and I don't know if RFD TV is still looping that and still re-airing that, but that is a wonderful thing, and people can buy tickets and come to that. And so, as part of the Rose Parade festivities, so that's a very cool thing that happens.
That is, and I think you sang the national anthem, didn't you?
I did. I've been privileged to sing that every year that we've been there. They've asked me to sing the national anthem, and it's that's one of my very favorite things to do, is to sing that song. And so it's very, really wonderful to do it in that environment, for sure.
Oh, wow. That is just too cool. That is just too cool. Well, you know, you were talking about you rode in the Rose Parade with Curly Musgrave.
Yes.
Several years ago. Do you want to do a song real quick and then come back and talk about some of these amazing folks?
Sure. Let's do, this is a song, you chose this song, actually. I actually gave you part of the show this time.
Thank you very much.
So some of our things we're going to talk about are a la Gary Holt. And so this is a song that Gary chose, and this is a really wonderful song. Curly actually wrote a poem called Thanks, an Old Cowboy's Prayer, and he ended up putting it to music so that he and Rusty Richards, an icon in Western music and played with the Sons of the Pioneers, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Rusty in a few minutes, but that he turned it into a song, and I had the privilege of doing some harmony on this song. So it's a wonderful, neat song, and it's just called Thanks, Old Cowboy's Prayer.
Well, let's take a listen to that, and thank you for letting me pick out some of these songs today. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So
you're welcome.
Here we go. All right, here we go.
Tonight I walk by the bunkhouse, and in the dim light by his bed, that old cowboy who still calls me son took off his hat and bowed his head and said,
I know it's been a while, Lord, since I checked in on my knees, but I often hear your counsel as I ride out on the breeze. But tonight, sunset, you give me in the West Montana sky was the best I can remember, and so I'm coming by to just say thanks for letting this old cowboy live another day, and thanks for that Montana sky tonight. And by the way, if I never see another, I'll die a happy man. For the love and strife of the cowboy life, I give my love and thanks.
You ain't seen me in no church, Lord, since Christmas 63. But when I'm riding herd neath the northern lights, I can feel you touching me. And I see you on each lonely trail where me and old pony run. When I catch that coyote on the moon, or an eagle again the sun.
And I hear your voice in the thunder
that fills the prairie sky.
In the nicker of a newborn colt, when a sleeping baby sighs, when the Chinook flows across the plains, or new life fills the land, I don't need no steeple over me to see your wondrous hand. And thanks for letting this old cowboy live another day. And thanks for that Montana sky tonight and by the way. If I never see another, I'll die a happy man. For the love and strife of the cowboy life, I give my love and thanks. Guess you and me's been down this road, Lord, and saddle pounds along. But when it's time to hang my spurs up, I hope you'll hire me on. Room and board enough for wages, with a Stetson for a crown. If heaven's like Montana, I'd be glad to settle down. Maybe you and me'd go fishing, or ride a trail along the banks. But till you send that final sunset, I'll just say, amen and thanks for letting this old cowboy live another day. And thanks for that Montana sky tonight. And by the way, if I never see another, I'll die a happy man. For the love and strife of the cowboy life, I give my love. Thanks, I give my love and thanks. I give my love and thanks. Thank you, God.
Isn't that just the coolest song? I'm glad you picked that one. It is.
You know, we were talking about our, you know, some of our guests that have been on the show over the past year or so, and you know, of course, Curly Musgrave passed away, your singing partner, a few years ago, but he's been brought up so many times during the course of these shows, and rightfully so. He's one of those folks that you wish you'd had an opportunity to interview. I wish I'd had an opportunity to interview. But we were thinking about some of the great guests that we've had, like Rusty Richards and Johnny Western and Gary Brown and Marilyn Tuttle and on and on and on. These folks that are such icons and have so much history connected.
Oh, it's amazing. And remember with Rusty's show, we saw... As we're going through this show, he had so much information to share, and we didn't want to cut short anything that he was sharing with us. It was so cute because we got towards the end of the show, and we realized we'd barely gotten through half of the things that we were going to, you know, had scheduled to talk about. And it was so cute because you came on and said, Belinda, what do you think about, you know, doing part two next week? And not so we, and I was like, hey, sounds good to me. And then you went and talked to Brett, and the people have no idea what goes on and when these songs are playing.
That's right. We have conversation, don't we?
We do. And that was a great idea. And we actually fully filled up two shows with all of Rusty's great stories and his rodeo stories and his music stories. And my goodness, we had Red Steagall on, and like you said, Darn Edwards, and I just feel so honored that they would come and be on my little newbie radio show, you know, barely out of the gate, as you know, as it were. And so I was very honored to have these incredible people on the show, and so inspired by what they shared with us. These people really opened up their hearts and talked to us, and I just am in awe of that.
Well, it's like I said earlier, there has not been a show that's been done that one of the guests hasn't talked about one or more things that really touched my heart. And quite often I sit there and I'm listening and think, man, you know, the timing was just right for me to hear this. And I expect that we've got hundreds of folks out there out of that audience we have that are saying, I really needed to hear that today. But every guest that we've had, you know, whether we've talked about, and we've had several guests, you know, I'm part of a club that I none of us would like to be in, and that's a parent who's lost a child. And so when you talk to Deanna Dickinson McCall or Rusty Richards or some of our other guests that have suffered losses, you can relate to that. And I think really at this time of the year, especially, folks feel that because it's a time of celebration and family getting together, and we miss those empty seats. But but such inspiring words and such positive people that are on the show. I mean, you do good. You can guess that.
Well, you know what? I mean, I find, and you know, I know that there's nothing that's absolute. Well, that I'm connected to that our Western music people and horse people tend to be much more optimistic and positive. And of course, we know that people who have their life grounded in the Lord and grounded in the Word, that no matter what's going on in your life, that is an amazing source of comfort and peace in a time when it really doesn't make sense that you're peaceful or that you can still smile and you can still find the joy in life through these difficult situations. And so that's one of the things that that I really try to impart and encourage people is, you know, to dig into God's word and to seek Him when we're going through tough times, because that's where our strength comes from. And, you know, finding the joy and being able to smile through the midst of these difficult times, the Bible literally said that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's where we find strength, is through the joy. And so I just deeply appreciate all of these people who've been on the show and brought us so much joy. Because there's been some tears and some touching moments in our show, but we have laughed a lot. We laugh a lot on this show, I think.
Well, and with good reason. I mean, with good reason. And we'll talk about some of that probably a little bit later, what some of those good reasons are. That'll be a teaser, folks. You've got to hang on for another song or two.
We're gonna hang on to find out the funny stuff.
That's right. Behind the scenes with Belinda Gale on Blessed Trails.
Behind the scenes.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh gosh. And we've had some amazing ladies on the show as well. Not the least being my mother of the heart. I have what I call my family of the heart, and these are friends that I've been brought into my life that become so much more than friends. They become like literal sisters and brothers. And this sweet lady has become my mom, especially losing my mom a few years ago. And that's Miss Marilyn Tuttle, and her amazing life. We did a show on her, and she turned 90 in August, and there was a huge birthday party for her in Southern California, where she lives in San Fernando, and there were over 300 people at this birthday party for her, and it was just incredible. So that was very, very fun to do. And gosh, there's so many strong women that are strong, literally strong, spiritually strong, and just strong performers that we've been having on the show. Mary Kay, Joni Harms, Devin Dawson, Carolyn Martin, Jean Prescott, just to mention a few. And some of your favorites were actually our poets.
Yeah. Susie Knight, I mean, who could not love her and just laugh your head off?
She's so funny.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the neat things is you've had some really great guests that I've been introduced to through Blessed Trails, and then we've brought them back on to the Campfire Cafe on Thursday show. And so I've benefited from all of these great friends that you have. And not only that, but many of them have become friends on Facebook and social media, and we communicate back and forth daily. So for me personally, it's been a fun trip to meet so many of these neat people out there.
They are so, so neat.
Yeah.
And you know what I love too is that you can actually, the cool thing is about the way you have all this set up, Gary, is that all of these wonderful interviews, all of these wonderful shows, both mine and yours, people can go back and listen to over and over again, or if they miss somebody, or, oh, I didn't realize they had them on. It's just so cool the way this is all set up. So this is, I mean, especially our icons like Marilyn and Red Steagall and Don Edwards and Rusty Richards, those people are literally, I mean, this is out there for posterity, which is so cool. I mean, just so impressed with how you set this all up.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And every now and then I'll Google Equestrian Legacy Radio to see what pops up. And out there in the Google world, you'll see different shows that we've done with different guests. And I'll think, well, gosh, I hadn't heard that show. And I'll go back and listen to it. And and sometimes they're better warmed over, you know, the second time around.
like a good book.
Yeah, like a good book. I missed that the first time. Or, gee, Belinda was really good that day, you know. Or, yeah, but it was a ton of fun. And, you know, I think one of the things that I've enjoyed, and I don't know whether our audience appreciates this or not, but one of the neat things to me has been, and this may be true more with some of the women, or at least maybe they've talked about it more, these are real ranch wives.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when you listen to some of the shows that we've done with some of these ladies, and it has not been an easy life. I mean, they didn't have some of the conveniences early on that many of us are accustomed to. I mean, they've worked the land and worked the cattle, and they've done their ranching thing. And
some of them still are.
And some are still are. Yeah. I mean, that inspires me. And, you know, Trinity Seeley has been on this show, and she's been on a couple of times on the other show. And she loves that ranching lifestyle.
Yes.
And I think one of the times that I tried to contact her to be on the Campfire Cafe, it took 2 weeks for her to get back because she was out working cattle. She didn't get back to her phone. So,
yep. It's the truth.
It is pretty cool.
And then, you know, you mentioned Deanna Dickinson McCall, and I mean, she literally started out her married life in a line camp with her husband in a line shack.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, literally a shack, you know, with a makeshift kitchen and an outhouse, and that's how they started their married life. And so these are real deal women, and a lot of the men are too, but I think it stands out more when you're talking, you expect cowboys to live like that. You forget that there are women that do this as well and live that life.
Yeah, talking about Deanna, one of the things that tickled me when she was on your show, she was talking about the fact that so many of her poems are short.
Yep.
And do you remember what she said about that?
I don't remember. What did she say?
Well, somebody said, Deanna, your poems are awfully short. You should try to lengthen the poems. And she said, well, I don't see any sense in doing that when you can say it all in a minute and a half.
Yeah.
You know. There's no need to just talk for the sake of talking. If you can say what you need to, say it and move on. You know, that's kind of a philosophy of life, I guess. But that kind of stuck with me.
That's a cowboy for you. You know, they usually aren't real chatty.
That's right.
Needs to be said. They get to the point and next. So, oh gosh. Well, talking about our women, one of our dear friends for both of us is Joni Harms, who, I mean, she lives on a working ranch up in Oregon, I think is where her ranch is. And she just was a neat lady and a good friend. And this is one of my favorites of her song. And I think because I can relate, I really feel this. And this is a cool song that we're going to do right now called Old Fashioned Girl by Joni Harms.
And that's where this song came from. It's called Old Fashioned Girl. And really, that's what I am.
I'm an old in a modern day world, holding on to what mom and dad taught me. Some ways I'm modern as can be, but there's still a part of me makes me proud to be an old-fashioned girl. Mama used to say, now, Joni, that everybody needs a friend to be the first to smile or to hold somebody's hand. These times, they are changing, but there'll never come a day when we can say I love you any better way. I'm an old-fashioned girl in a modern-day world, holding on to what mom and dad taught me. Some ways I'm modern as can be, but there's still a part of me makes me proud to be an old-fashioned girl. On the grill, these things keep me going in a world of take, I'll give. City life may make my living, but that's not the way I live. I'm an old fashioned girl in a modern day world, holding on to what mom and dad taught me. Some ways I'm modern as can be, but there's part of me makes me proud to be an old-fashioned girl. Yes, I'm proud to be an old-fashioned girl.
You know what? You guys need to give an extra big round of applause for Danny for singing about being an old-fashioned girl, don't you think?
And Simon. And Simon.
Simon, too, yeah. Oh, we're having fun already, aren't we? That's good.
That was from her Oregon to Ireland CD, I think, wasn't it?
Which is a live CD, yes.
A live CD, yeah.
A live CD, yes. Oh, so much fun. Yeah,
I kind of like live stuff, you know, for folks that are listening out there today. We actually are live, and we don't tell folks this often, but because of your travel schedule and a lot of the guests, and because it's early on Sunday morning, our shows are usually pre-recorded, and which has challenges as well. But we're live today, so this is kind of fun.
We are and thank God we've been tape at some of our other shows, because we'll have horrible technical difficulties trying to kick the show off and have to start it over a couple of times. So, but once we start rolling, we don't edit. It just, whatever happens.
That's right.
It's recorded live and aired just how it goes down.
That is absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Well, you know, one of the, you were talking about folks that impress us, and have you had anybody in particular, have there been any shows that have stuck with you a little bit more, not to take away from any of the others?
Well, I mean, there are several. One of them we're going to close with our show tonight. I mean, with our show this morning. So we're going to talk more about that later. But one of them was when Teresa Burleson opened up about a very difficult childhood that she had and how she overcame that. And I had no idea. It amazes me, the stuff I find out about people I've known for years when we do this show. And when we had Susie McIntyre on, and she was so candid and so open about a very abusive marriage that she was, you know, involved in, and how the Lord brought her through that and helped her to move on with her life. And you know, to hear these stories like this are just amazing, and that these people are so willing to just open up and share this information with us and to share their heart and their struggles with us. It just blows my mind. How about you? What stood out for you?
Well, you know, there are so many of them that have, and it's hard to pick out just one. But we're going to talk about some of our young and up and coming folks here in just a little bit, I think. One that I just kind of get tickled every time I think about it was Naomi Bristow when she was on, and she was talking about the fact that Vince Gill sang on one of the numbers. And she didn't know Vince Gill. You know, was she 12 years old? And she's at a concert where he's performing, and she just walks up and says, "How would you like to be on my next record?"
Yes, I mean, like that.
And he said, well, "Okay." So I'm sitting there thinking, how many times do we not accomplish some things in life just because we're afraid to ask or go for it? You know.
Oh no! Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's good to be so young you don't know any better, or so old that you don't care anymore. I don't know.
You don't care.
But,
oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, my late husband used to say, all they can say is no, they're not going to eat you.
Well, they're not.
No. Oh, gosh. And when you talk about our up-and-comers, I mean, it's so good for me, so heartwarming for me to see the young people that are embracing Western music. I know there's a lot of young people in country and in bluegrass, but in Western, it seems to be most of the performers are 50 plus that are performing. They're very, very good, but older, some in their 40s, but we have a new crop of young people, 20-somethings and late teens, that are now really embracing Western music, and we've been so fortunate to have several of them on the show, which has been so fun. And I don't know about you, but I've been so impressed with how poised and articulate these young people are. What's your impression of them?
Well, they're sharp, and not only are they talented, but they are embracing the new way of marketing through social media and other things. So, you know, the older folks are going to have to kind of get on the ball to keep up.
This one in particular.
Yeah, but they're doing what they love doing, and you know, when I've interviewed them on, and I've had Mickey, and I've had Kristen and the Hansons and some others on. When you talk about folks that are maybe in their late teens or early 20s and ask them what it is that has inspired them or why they're pursuing Western music, it's kind of interesting to get the response. And it's just kind of the way that they grew up, and it's the kind of music that they like, and so that's what they're going for, you know?
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job with it. I mean, they're writing some great stuff. They're being nominated for all types of awards and winning in several genres.
Yes.
Both Western music and the Ameripolitan or Americana and Roots categories. And I think that's pretty exciting. And they're great performers. Kristen, I'm looking forward to seeing her in June. We'll talk about some of that in a little bit, but just exciting young performers. And I've told Kristen a couple of times, I said, Kristen, I don't think you could perform if they tied your right leg down.
Oh, they couldn't. If they tied her feet at all, she could not perform. There was a video posted on YouTube one time where she was doing a song, great song. The whole video was of her feet. she practically dances the whole time that she's singing. It's hilarious.
Yeah. But you know, they're great young people, and they're inspiring, and but they have, you know, Belinda, they've shared with you some things. You know, Kristen shared some things that I think many people probably are not aware of, and that was her family life, and then what an influence that Devin Dawson had on her life. And you know, we're not talking out of turn, because it was, we talked about it on the shows,
absolutely.
But,
yeah
But to be able to talk about that, and, you know, Mickey talking about the fact that she stands up for her faith when she performs, and I think it was California, that was a challenge, maybe somewhere that she did. So.
Right. Yeah. These are incredibly strong young people. I'm in awe of their strength and their commitment to what they're doing, and the commitment to professionalism. To see these young people who are so professional is just, again, very inspiring and very heartwarming, and gives me a lot of hope for Western music's future, for sure. And when you mentioned earlier little Naomi Bristow, she's little in stature, but big, powerful voice, and from Canada. And most of these young people are out there writing their own music, too, which is incredible. And so tell us about the song you picked out for us to play next.
Well, this is a song that Naomi did on the show when she was with us, and it's called In God's Time. And as I recall, this is a song that she wrote because she had a very close friend that was losing their battle and getting ready to pass on to a better place. And she did a beautiful job with this, and I think we'll just let our audience listen and see if they agree as well. But this is In God's Time by Naomi Bristow.
In God's time, a million years might only be a single day, and everything he does gets done in his own way. In God's time, in God's time, you'll find that certain someone you've been praying for, and they'll be everything you dreamed of and a little more. In God's time. Oh, but no one knows, not you or me. It might be tomorrow or it might never be. But don't lose faith, put it in his hands. 'Cause it might be that he might have a bigger plan. Miracles happen in God's time, in God's time. You'll finally get the chance to hold your baby girl, and all of a sudden everything makes sense in this crazy world. In God's time.
pretty amazing song, well, Belinda.
Especially when you realize a teenager wrote it.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a profound thing.
Yeah.
Oh man, what a year we have had. We have had a year.
Well, it has been. I mean, you know, we started Blessed Trails in October of 2014.
Yes.
October of 2014, and so January began a new year, and here we are in the new year of 2016, and it's just been flying by. And you and I are actually going to meet one of these days pretty soon, so that's going to be cool.
I know we become such good friends over the phone.
Yeah, sometimes I forget we haven't met in person, but I think that's getting ready to change this next month, so that's going to be pretty cool. But you know, we have become good friends because we've learned how to work together on these things. You know, again, behind the scenes, people have no idea what's going on when the music is playing or the poetry is going on. So we get to chat with each other and with our guest. And one of the neat things about you is before we start our show every time, we get on about 15 minutes ahead of time with our guest, and we always begin the show with a prayer beforehand. And sometimes God says, that one wasn't good enough, you got to come back and do another one. And so... And we do, and usually it works after that. You know, this is technology. We're challenged with technology sometimes, so we have dropped calls.
Yes,
happen. So, yeah. And you are such a pro. We were doing a show, and I mentioned Trinity Seeley early on.
Right.
We were doing a show with Trinity. She was out on the road somewhere with her kids, and
yes.
she was doing a great job of hanging in. And I believe during that particular show, you disappeared about four times. And one was a lengthy time, and you were in the middle of an interview segment with her, and you were gone. And you came back on, and bless your heart, you did such a great job. Trinity never missed you. I mean, you just picked right up. It was just...
Well, she would have had a, thank God she had a lot to talk about, and she was talking, and all I had to do was listen to where she was and go, okay, we'll just pick it up from here.
That is right.
And how about the time I forget what show it was, and it sounded like something from Star Wars when you went to introduce
I don't remember who that was, but did the introduction on there, it was like, it was like we could not duplicate that if we tried. It was hilarious.
No, it was crazy.
It was fun.
So, like, I mean, we've had to start shows over. I mean, you can't, when you have technical stuff, it just, and one of my favorites. Oh, this was, I think it was with Teresa Burleson. I set my, because I call in as well, folks. I call in, my guest calls in, we all call into Nashville where Gary is, and we do the show. And I set my alarm, and for some reason my alarm didn't go off, and I was busy doing something. I think we were moving. I think it was in August. I was packing because we were getting ready to move, or I was packing to get on the road or something, but I was packing. And you called me up, and you're like, are you going to call in and do this show? And I went, yeah, what do you mean? And I'll call back. And you're like, now we're doing the show now, and I'm like, oh no! So I had to hurry up and get my computer out, and then you covered for me while I got everything all set up. And oh my gosh, was that embarrassing?
That was fine.
You were pulling my leg, and it's the truth.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say that we get on early, and so sometimes our guest, I mean, we have to kind of track our guest down because I'm in Nashville, you're usually in Arizona, and guests are from all across the country, and so we work in about four different time zones. And and then, bless your heart, in Arizona, you don't change, you know.
Right. Well, mine changes.
Yeah, yeah.
From Pacific to Mountain, back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, we have to figure out what time we've got. And so, and sometimes we've had guests that have called into the show. They're to call in 10 minutes early, so everybody's good and ready to go. And we may be playing their music and doing the introduction, you know, while we're still trying to get them on the line. So you talk about nail biting and sweating.
Yes.
You know, that happens sometimes. That happens sometimes. But that's part of it. And without the technology, we couldn't do these shows like we do, where we have guests from all across the country. And and host from across the country. So you don't have to be in the same room anymore to do these shows. And
right.
And that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
It's very cool. And real quick, you know, people that don't know for any reason or have not ever listened, please tell us about your other shows that are on Equestrian Legacy.
Okay. All right. So, well, first of all, you can always go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and you can see all of the hosts that are on the Equestrian Legacy Radio programs, and a little bio on each person and great pictures and ways to contact them. So you can go to our website and see Belinda's picture and a little bit of information about her and the ways to contact her. But we do Blessed Trails on Sunday mornings. We have the Campfire Cafe with our good friend, Bobby Jean Bell, that's in Santa Clarita, mm-hmm. California, and we do that on Thursdays. It's live at noon, and then we follow that with Saddle Up America. The Campfire Cafe is really what we started with, the Thursday show, where
mm-hmm.
we really started talking when we began this in 2013, talking about horses and talking with horse people. And then we added entertainers later that year. And so now the Campfire Cafe, we do in-depth interviews with people's favorite entertainers like Belinda Gale and share their music. And so it's really, I don't think there's another show like it, Belinda, that's
out there. I don't think so
either.
I haven't heard of it. Nope.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're talking with one guest and people really get to know the guest and kind of the way that they do on Sunday morning with Blessed mm-hmm. Trails. And then we follow that up with folks that are in the wonderful world of horses. And that follows the Campfire Cafe on Thursday. And then we added, in December, we added Charlie Ingalls' program, Calling All Cowboys, to the lineup. And so that comes on Saturday mornings. And it's kind of interesting, as we've been doing these programs, Belinda, I now have people contacting me from out of the country and in the country asking if they can be part of our network.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And, you know, so kind of take a look at it and see if it looks like something that might be a fit. But right now it's pretty busy with the ones that we're doing. And we keep trying to improve things. So we want people to be able to find us easily and to tune into the shows easily. And in the last month and a half or 2 months, we've completely redone the website for equestrianlegacy.net. We've added a real easy way for people to listen to the shows. And they can listen live, or they can go back and listen to the archive podcast of any of the shows. And our website is mobile friendly, so you can listen right from the website, from your smartphone or your tablet or your computer. And then we have our, as you call it, what do you call it, our little nifty mobile app?
Our nifty mobile app.
Our nifty mobile app, so you can go to our website and download our mobile app and listen to us that way as well. So it's really easy to find us and listen to us. We utilize social media, and whether it's Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, and that's as in-depth as I've gotten so far. I don't do Instagram or Pinterest yet. But anyway, easy to find us and keep up with what's going on. And we have contests for our listeners, and we have discounts and great ways for folks to advertise through the website. So it's kind of an interesting package. And
it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, I'm so honored to be part of it, and excited to see what this next year brings for not only my show, but for the entire network. So I think there's some wonderful growth potential that's there, and I think we're going to have a great year. And also, before we get, we're going to need to close up here pretty quick. We have a few more things to talk about, but I want to make sure we don't miss talking about the Fiona Murphy Foundation fundraiser in June. So tell us a little bit about that.
All right. Well, thanks for asking about that. This is the third year that Equestrian Legacy Radio has done this, and it's now called Rendezvous, and it's held at the Circle E Guest Ranch in Belvedere, Tennessee, just close to Winchester, and that's between Nashville and Chattanooga. And you can find out all the details about Rendezvous on our website, Rendezvous 2016. But the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation was named after Michael Martin Murphy's granddaughter, and it was created to help children that have brittle bone disease, or called osteogenesis imperfecta. And so I'd gone to a benefit that Murph had done and met Fiona and her dad, Ryan, and so we decided to do this. So this year it has become in addition to our trail rides and Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy National Championship, it's become a three-day music, arts, and crafts festival. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We had people last year that came from across the country and out of the country. And this year, with the music festival, we've got Belinda Gale will be there.
Yes, sir.
And Kristen Harris will be there, and Eli Barcy, and Dale Shields, and Templeton Thompson, and the Sawdust Brothers, and Michael Martin Murphy, and Stephanie Lane, and I don't want to forget anybody, and I'm not looking at my list right now. But Williamson Branch, we've just got a great group of folks that are going to be there performing for 3 days. And then artists and craftspeople from throughout the country that will be there. So all of this is to raise money for these kids. And that's June the 2nd through the 5th. And it's a Rendezvous. And great camping, great horse trails, great entertainment, and just it's going to be a lot of fun to help these kids with this horrible disease. And we appreciate folks like you, Belinda, coming from way out west to help take part in this.
Well, we're all happy to do it, and always happy to help out with a good cause. And this is definitely a good one. And you're my friend. You can't say no to your friend.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, it'll be and other friends. I mean, I don't want to forget Mike and Doris Merritt. They've been on this show and other shows. They're coming in for that. And some of these folks have come for this will be their third year. Some of the entertainers, their third year to come. Some this will be their second year. And then a lot of folks that are coming in. I mean, it's pretty cool. I know Eli, we had to get some special paperwork done. You know, if you come to the United States from Canada, you got to have some special paperwork done. And
yes,
so she got on that early on. And so, you know, she's coming from Canada for this. It's just pretty cool, the big hearts that people have to open up and help these kids, kind of like this Joyce Whitson song.
Yes. This is one you chose, and it's one I sing, but I tell you what, Joyce just knocked it out of the park with this song. It's one of my favorites, and I love to do it live, and it is a true story that a fan wrote her a letter, and she was so touched by their letter, she got in touch with them and found out more about them and about their story, and asked if she could write a song about their life. And they said yes, and I was so thrilled for her that it was actually nominated for Song of the Year. And I hope everybody enjoys it. We're not going to give it away. We'll let people just listen and let the song tell the story. And it's called He Sang For Me.
Old, my legs just wouldn't work.
in and out of hospitals, the days wore on. And someone came to visit one rainy afternoon and changed my life with a song. I knew that day was special, and the nurses fussed about all us kids. We didn't know what to expect. And he walked in with his guitar, no one made a sound. And he came and he sat down on my bed, and he sang for me. He sang for me. The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. Were a pair. Though the room was full of kids in the hospital that day, he shook my hand and winked and said, "Put her there." Then he sang for me. He sang for me. The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. And as long as I live, changed my life with a song when he sang for me. He wrote me a letter, it's still hard to believe, but I'll always remember. Long ago, and that day is with me still. I sing for kids in hospitals today. Though I don't have a horse, this old wheelchair gets me round. I've kept his picture he gave to me that day when he sang for me. He sang for me.
Joyce wrote a great song. That was a good one.
she did, and I think it was fit right in when we talk about helping these kids in
absolutely.
June. So, yeah,
absolutely. Well, gosh, we're at the end of our show over, actually, but that's okay. That's the beauty of online radio. We don't have to stick to rigid time frames, which is great. But you and I talked about it, and we really wanted to close out this section of the show talking about one of the most amazing interviews we had of the year, and that was with Joey Feek of Joey and Rory. And just on Mother's Day, talking about her beautiful Indiana and motherhood and what this very special little girl meant to them and their life and to her. And little did we know that, you know, 6-8 months later, we'd be, you know, a miracle that Joey is even still with us. And unless the Lord intervenes, that we're going to lose her to cancer. And that is just unbelievable to me, how quickly life can change.
Well, it does. And that, again, was another one of those shows that when you're sitting there listening to it, you know, as it's being recorded, you find yourself in tears. And such sweet, sweet, sweet people. and yes. and so genuine, and putting their faith in the Lord, and that was so evident mm-hmm. during that interview back in May that mm-hmm. we did with them, and then to see the way that they have dealt with this illness and turning everything over to the Lord. It's just, you know, you wonder if you'd be that strong. And
I don't know. I'm with you on that. And through Joey's encouragement, Rory actually writing a blog and talking about all of this and showing pictures, and because Joey was like, if this is going to go down like this, I don't want it to go down for naught. I want it to be an encouragement to people. I want to be able to minister to people through this as long as it is possible. So, I mean, what an incredible couple and an incredible story. And just if people haven't listened to Joey's interview, I would really encourage them to go back and listen so you have a feel for her heart. And then please do put her and her entire family on your prayer list.
Well, they're on mine, and God can work miracles. He answers prayers, sometimes not like we'd like for them to be done, but she invited me to come down and eat with them down at, is it Marcy Joe's?
Marcy Joe's, yep.
Marcy Joe's, and I haven't gotten to do that yet, so it's kind of like, you know, we've got to do that, so...
It's a good place to go eat, and I really would love to do her song now. And this is the coolest song. Joey and Rory wrote this with a friend of theirs, and Rory had Joey write down all the things that were important to her in life, and then they incorporated all of those things into this great song that's called "That's Important to Me."
Planning our day around a TV set, paying our bills and staying out of debt. That's important to me. That's important to me. Opening the windows and letting in air, holding hands when we're saying a prayer. That's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Having somebody to share my life, loving my husband and being a wife, and the very best mother I can be. That's important to me. That's important to me.
love that song. And again, please do remember Joey and her family in prayer. This sweet family really needs your prayer right now. So just in closing, goodness, can you believe how fast a year flies by? It was so fun to look back with Gary at how far Blessed Trails has come this past year for all of us. Taking an honest look back is, it's good to assess what you did well, setting goals to do more of that, and also to look at what didn't go so well, and hopefully setting goals to help you avoid those mistakes or pitfalls in the future. And while it is common to do that for our physical lives and careers, I would encourage you to do that for your spiritual lives as well. If you haven't already done so, I would ask you to consider setting aside time every day, even if it's only for 15 minutes, to be in God's Word. Tuck those scriptures in your heart and spend at least a few quiet moments with Him. As we look ahead to 2016, we know that there will be joys and accomplishments, but there will also be trials and disappointments. And I, for one, used to really let those things get to me until I read and truly understood this scripture in James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our trials and disappointments are like spiritual weightlifting. They are not pleasant to go through, but the results can be amazing. When we keep our eyes on Jesus and push confidently forward, trusting in the love, direction, and provision and plan that God has for our lives, our faith grows and becomes stronger, and the bumps smooth out and become our teachers. But once we have gleaned the good from our trials, it's time to put them in the past, reset our goals, and look hopefully forward. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Paul talks about his goals. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which the Lord Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To me, this scripture encourages us to not let our past shackle us, to let the past be just that. Definitely need to learn the lessons from the past. Once those lessons are learned, let the past go. Fix your eyes on your goals and let the glorious future the Lord has for you just unwind. Well, that's our show for today. I am so delighted y'all could join us. Thank you for giving us the gift of your time. And a huge thank you again to my amazing producer and dear friend, Gary Holt, for doing double duty today, for handling all the technical stuff, as well as stepping out from behind the control panel to share his thoughts and memories of this past year of Blessed Trails with all of us. And please remember, all of the fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. And you can even download them on our nifty mobile app and take us on the go with you. So if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me.